Man, we gotta start using Apple Cash.
Okay, why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in messages.
All right.
So I can pay you in the convos we're already having, not forget a payment, or have money sitting somewhere just collecting dust.
Oh, that is nice.
And then you can use that cash right away and buy stuff, like at a store, with Apple Pay.
I don't have to do all that bank transfer stuff?
Nope. It's just right there. Easy, convenient, and secure.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was? Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Kim Crawford Wines. Kim Crawford invites you to savor amazing with a chilled glass of New Zealand's finest, named in the Wine Spectator Top 100 list 4 times. Every sip of Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc is filled with tropical fruit flavors like passion fruit and citrus to help you experience golden hour how you see fit.
Visit KimCrawfordWines.com to learn more and find Kim Crawford Wine near you. Savor amazing. For those 21 and over, please savor responsibly. Constellation Imports, Rutherford, California.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And welcome to today's Monday Mini, where I once again can't resist, and I'm talking about The Last of Us 2 again. No spoilers. Yes. Because even though we spoiled the heck out of it previously.
I was going to say, confusing because we've already talked a lot about this.
But I've learned from super producer Christina, sometimes when you don't know what someone's talking about necessarily, you don't retain the spoilered information.
I mean, it's true.
Yes. So, but now that people are into the show and I no spoilers, but I wanted to come back and talk about this because obviously I love talking about it at any time. But recently, and this is not a sponsor again, tragedy. I don't know why they don't contact us, but The Last of Us 2 had a remaster come out. And there were a couple of things I wanted to talk about it, and I promise they're relevant to a feminist show. But before I get into that, I did want to address a couple of things because a lot of people were sort of like, that's way too early for a remaster to come out because The Last of Us 2 came out in June 2020. And that was after, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but that was after a very long delay because of the pandemic. But it came out because of leaks. Essentially, the whole game got leaked and they were like, we're just going to have to release it. So some people were, and I think legitimately, like that's way too early for a remaster. But one of the things, there are a couple of new things that came with the remaster. One thing that people really love is called No Return, which is essentially like a tiered, you have 6 encounters, they get increasingly more difficult, they have these modifiers on them that make them harder. If you die once, you die, you have to start over. And I do think it's funny because I read a review of it, I've been playing it and I love it and it's hard. I'm trying to get all the challenges, I have 6 left out of like 40.
Ooh.
But I did read a review that was like, I love this, but it is kind of antithetical to the whole point of the game, which I thought was true. Because in the game, you're supposed to like, you get to the end and you're like, oh, I need to think about all of these people I just killed without thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But this is much more like, yeah, just kill as many people as you
get
can.
Get done.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. But the main thing I wanted to talk about today is that it came with, which is on YouTube, if you want to watch it, you don't have the game. It came with a documentary about how it was made, and it's called Grounded 2. And it does have a couple of things that really made me stop and be like, huh, okay. One thing that is very eerie in watching it is that they were making this game before they knew the pandemic was coming. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the early shots, they don't know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they did this after the fact. They were doing it while they were making it, these shots. And they almost didn't release this documentary because they stopped making it once the pandemic happened. But it was eerie as the viewer to be like, oh no, I know what is coming. You do not know what is coming. And it was interesting to see them talk about, you know, should we even make this game? Everybody keeps saying, like, the first one was so good. Why would you try to mess that up and do a second one? And so they were trying to do something totally different and seeing, like, the ideas that they had that didn't happen. I was like, wow, this is wild what this game could have been. But one of the things that was also really interesting is because I'm such a big fan of this game, these games in general, I remember when trailers would come out. I remember what a big deal they were. And that was a big part of the documentary, was like making these trailers. And I remember one of the first ones they showed, and it was the first time that they showed this character that was going to be majorly important called Abby. And everybody thought it was Ellie's mom, because I didn't know this, but apparently they planted that idea in some other thing because they wanted to, like, kind of, you know, whoa, misdirect, which is not a spoiler because in the show they've already shown Ellie's mom. And I didn't know this, but after it came out, there was a lot of articles that were about women and violence. And is this like a really misogynistic thing? Because it was a pretty violent scene. But the game is mostly violent, I will just say that. But it was a pretty violent scene. And so the documentary has a whole section where the woman who co-wrote the story, Hallie Gross, comes in. And she was brought in for a lot of reasons. But one of the ones is that Neil Druckmann, who did like the main story, the first one, was, I don't know how to write romance. She was like, I can help you. And we can make this bigger. But she came in and they have a whole section where she was talking about, like, can women be violent? Can women commit these acts of violence against other women? And it was really interesting to think, because I remember when that came out and I didn't think like, oh, this is so misogynistic. I was just like, yeah, this is a violent world that they live in. But they had kind of examples of the articles that have been written about it. And it was just something I hadn't seen, even though I had been following this game. I remember watching that trailer very well. And I was more like, wow, this is like almost all women in this scene. But, you know, I think it's a fair question to ask. But it was interesting to hear the author of the story being like, well, what does that mean then? If you're saying like women can't write violent things, well, what is that? Like, this whole game is something that I wanted to see. So what does that mean? And it was really interesting. And I do think like one of the things I experienced playing it the first time was that I remember thinking like, I wonder in an apocalypse situation, like how much of the gender part of, you know, being performative is going to fall away. How much of like society is going to fall away? How much of like these stereotypes and really horrible things we think about people are going to fall away? And in the game, it's kind of like they didn't really. They sort of evolved. But I feel like the violence part was sort of an equalizer, as terrible as that is. Everybody was violent, pretty much. Everybody, they're trying to survive. I feel a lot of the things in the game are sort of pointing out how silly that is, that people in this game still held on to these stereotypes. But it was just interesting to see kind of that play out. I'd missed that. And it was unclear, based on the examples they gave, of how much of that was like legitimate critique, which I think, you know, could have been. But some of it, I'm like, that could have just been angry dudes that were mm-hmm. like, look, women doing violent things. I don't know. Mm-hmm. No. And we've talked about that in the first one, where I feel like at the time people were much more ready to accept Ellie as a young girl who needed the protection of a man, even when she has her part that you play, which is an amazing part. It's still him ultimately protecting her. So when this became like more about women being vengeful and being violent, suddenly it's like, whoa, wait, wait a minute. But yeah, they had a whole section about that that I thought was really interesting. And they had, you know, they were like pretty much women wrote the story, designed these characters, all of that. Because one of the big critiques was like, how many women were involved? And all the women were like, hi, I'm here. It's me. Hello. The women actors, of course.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Kim Crawford Wines. Life is busy. There are so many things on your to-do list with so little time to do them. And you're always thinking about others' needs before thinking of your own. Trust me, we understand. Kim Crawford does too. That's why they're inviting you to experience Golden Hour, your chance to reclaim your time and laugh with your favorite people, play your favorite song on repeat, gaze outside your window and daydream about your wildest dreams, or celebrate your victories.
No matter the moment, you can savor it all with a chilled glass of New Zealand's finest. As the number one ranked Sauvignon Blanc in the U.S., Kim Crawford has classic aromas of lifted citrus, tropical fruit, and crushed herbs to help you stay in a golden hour state of mind. Because golden hour is more than just time, it's whenever you want to savor amazing. Visit KimCrawfordWines.com to learn more. That's KimCrawfordWines.com to find Kim Crawford wine near you. Savor amazing.
For those 21 and over, please savor responsibly. Constellation Imports, Rutherford, California. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Another thing I thought was interesting was they went out of their way to not just make Abby Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would have been easier if you just played the same character and like they just laid the same actions over another character. But you've heard me talk about this before. They are extremely different mm-hmm. in how you play them, what they're good at, how they work. So that was a whole thing that they went through, and they made the point. They were like, we don't want to have these two powerful women, protagonist, antagonist, however you want to say it, but one is just essentially a copy of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that. Also, they had a whole section on the accessibility and how they did that. And it was really interesting. I know we talked about that in a past episode I did on The Last of Us 2 and accessibility. But it was really interesting to see how that worked and how they did that. And the people they had like play test the game and how they made it better. There was also part of me that like the first time I watched it was like, read our book. I've been talking about this. But something else that came out of it, now it kind of went, I don't know, viral, but it was going around social media, was that they had this whole bit at the end where they did sort of a postmortem of making this game. And they talked about how they're trying to move away from what they call crunch mode reliance. And it was really, really interesting because so many people were like, you know, I want, especially after the pandemic and they were working from home, I want better work-life balance. And this was fascinating to see because, again, this was filmed over several years and it was before the pandemic. And at the beginning of the pandemic, people would say, I can handle it. I'm tough. I'll stay in. There were these like crunch dinners they would have so you would stay in. But then after that, people were talking about their health and mental health. They even had this whole section that I really related to, where they were talking about how they tried to make things less painful by organizing things more. But in doing so, they were doing more work because things were organized, because everybody like wanted to do the work and they wanted to do it better. And I relate to that so much. It's like, it's hard to turn that off. But it was really, really interesting because there was like one part where they were basically like the bosses were like, stop working on this Last of Us 2 demo because you're too busy. We'll get to it later. And this game was delayed several times, by the way. And they were like, okay, we'll never touch the demo again. And then like cut to several minutes later in the documentary, like, well, we touched it again. We couldn't help it. We wanted to make it better. But it was interesting to see that they are trying to, they were talking about it and trying to move away from it, because they feel like, as someone who does such a similar thing, it's really hard to, when you just are like, oh, I can make that a little bit better. I could keep working and I could keep working. But that was one of the big things that came out of it. Also, if you don't know, so the game got delayed several times. It was supposed to come out February 22nd, 2020, I believe, somewhere in there. And the pandemic happened. And they were like, does anybody want to play a game about a pandemic in a pandemic? They couldn't get the shipping. Like, there was no way the game was going to get shipped. And so they were worried about, like, it getting spoiled in terms of who would get it first. And then there was a huge leak. The whole game pretty much got leaked. It was sort of ramped up. Like, it started small and then it got bigger and bigger. Part of this reason might be that they had to start working from home. And so, like, it wasn't as secure as it normally would be. But it was leaked by a, quote, fan who wanted to force them to release the game. And it is clear how much harm that it did to their team, to kind of their morale. Because, again, no spoilers, but a big part of the game was that you had to play it. Like, you had to get to the end. If you're only seeing these snippets, of course, people were mad. They were furious. There were, like, headlines that it was a gay orgy, that Abby is trans, it's a gay feminist agenda. There were death threats, lots of death threats threatening Laura Bailey, who plays Abby, her child, who was born during the game. There was a lot of anti-Semitism about it. And all of the people who were involved, like, were brought to tears when remembering this, because they kind of, it was a risk that they took with this game, and they were very confident in it. They had put so much work in it, but it's still like, you don't know until you put it out there. And then that's what you're getting. Like, every day you wake up to that. And a lot of them said they felt like they'd been violated, and they felt like just so devastated that this had happened. But then the reviews came out as people played it. It's one of the most well-reviewed games of all time. It is one of the most awarded games of all time, if not the most. So that was very, you know, heartening for them. But it was still like a really upsetting experience. And I remember this. It's amazing to me how many people, when I mention this game, will be like, oh, I hate it. And I'm like, have you ever played it? No. Mm-hmm. Never. So it was a really, I was telling Samantha I got emotional watching it this morning. I was like, oh my God. Because it was just a strange, like, watching the pandemic play out was strange. And then just, I remember all of this so well. And they also have pretty emotional scenes of, like, the decisions they made, the really heartbreaking decisions they made in the game, the choices that they made. There's also a really cool thing where you can see scenes they cut and you can play them and hear why they cut them. And that's really interesting. But it was very telling to me that, and we talk about this a lot every time we talk about video games, but that there was so much beautiful stuff around fans and how much they loved the game and how excited they were for it. But then on the other side, there's this, like, so we still have a lot of work to do when people are making people who are making these games feel unsafe or hurt or like they don't want to do it anymore. That's horrific. Anyway, those are my thoughts. I could honestly do a whole episode on it, but I won't. But thank you for indulging me in this.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yes.
All those thoughts.
You know I want to share it all the time. Yes. If any of you have any thoughts about this or anything in general, you can write in and let us know. Our email is stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok as Stuff Mom Never Told You. We have a Tee Public store and we have a book you can get wherever you get your books. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This podcast is brought to you by Kim Crawford Wines. Kim Crawford invites you to savor amazing with a chilled glass of New Zealand's finest, named in the Wine Spectator Top 100 list 4 times. Every sip of Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc is filled with tropical fruit flavors like passion fruit and citrus to help you experience golden hour how you see fit.
Visit KimCrawfordWines.com to learn more and find Kim Crawford Wine near you. Savor amazing. For those 21 and over, please savor responsibly. Constellation Imports, Rutherford, California.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.